Good morning, everyone. This meeting of the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee will now come to order. It is 8:01 a.m. Tuesday, April 4th, 2023 in Capitol Room 124. Members present are Vice Chair McCabe, Representative Himshute, Representative McKay, and myself, Rep. McCormick, Chair. Excused is Representative Putkatuk. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. Please take this time to silence your cell phones or anything else that you might have on you that could surprise, make noise in this committee. The donut policy is strictly enforced in this committee. thank you. But before we begin, I would like to thank Linda Jensen, the House Community and Regional Affairs Secretary, for records, and Doug Bridges from the Juno LIO for staffing the community, the committee today. Today we will be hearing two bills. First up is House Bill 123 by Rep. Johnson regarding Articles of Incorporation for Angsta Corporations. And second, we will hear House Bill 69 by Representative Krog relating to the reclassification of first-class cities. Just for everyone's awareness, we're going to try to be done by 9, just to give some folks some time to prepare before we get on the floor. And initially planned for about 45 minutes, but we were graced with some extra time, so... Yeah, just so everyone's aware. Hard stop at 9:15, I guess, in the event that we do run a bit over. I'd like the record to reflect, we were joined by Representative Ruffridge at 8:03 a.m. With that out of the way, we will now hear House Bill 123. And Mr. Wright, staff to Representative Johnson, has come forward. So please put yourself on the record and introduce the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And for the record, my name is Tom Wright. I'm staff to Representative Craig Johnson, who is in a leadership meeting right now and cannot attend this morning's meetings and sends his apologies. Promise not to take up all your 45 minutes with this bill. I'll try to be as brief as possible. House Bill 123. Under the Alaska Corporation Code that was adopted in 1989, it required corporations existing before July 1st, 1989, to have a two-thirds vote of the shares entitled to vote for the adoption of an amendment to their articles of incorporation, and this is including all ANGSTA corporations. House Bill 123 effectively allows all ANGSTA corporations to have a simple majority vote on article issues. As noted in the sponsor statement, most ANGSTA corporation shareholder meetings usually have quorums of about in the upper 50s to lower 60s percent of their shares, and under Alaska law, they reduce these thresholds for certain things, but not for the articles or amendments to the articles of incorporation. Some of the things that they specified are creation of a settlement trust, articles of incorporation to issue new shares of settlement common stock, or to provide classification of seats on the board of directors. ANGSTA corporations believe that the current law to be antiquated, and the law needs to be updated to a more realistic 50% voting standard, and that's the intent of House Bill 123, Mr. Chairman, and I'll try to answer any questions from you or committee members.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Representative Himshute.
Thank you, through the chair. Mr. Wright, I just want to confirm, this is sort of looking forward and trying to proactively solve a problem that isn't exactly happening yet, but I don't want to call it dilution, but as those shares get spread out more, this is going to become a problem.
Through the chair, Representative Himshute, that's correct.
Okay, thank you.
And if I may add, it is becoming a problem because not all shareholder meetings do they have that threshold, for two-thirds. And trying to solve a problem here that they're facing and put them in step with all other corporations that, have a 50% plus one threshold.
Are there any other questions? Okay, hearing none. Wow, super fast. I appreciate it. This is awesome. thank you very much for presenting today, Mr. Wright. We will hold over House Bill 123, and I believe we have public testimony scheduled for Thursday. I'll speak more to that later. Brief at ease. We will now hear House Bill 69 with Representative Kronk and David Stancliffe, staff to Representative Kronk. Please come forward, put yourself on the record, and introduce the legislation.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Representative Mike Kronk, District 36, and my staff to my right is
Dave Stancliffe, staff to Representative Mike Kronk.
I'm just going to give you a quick brief background on why we have this legislation. It was brought to our attention that the first class city of Tanana was unable to transfer their school into the Yukon Kayakix Rural Education Attendance Area. In researching the impediments to that transfer, it became clear that a first class city would have to be reclassified to legally transfer the school. Further, it was brought to our attention in the Local Boundary Commission annual report that although a minimum population of 400 residents is required to form a first-class city, there is no mechanism that automatically reclassifies a community if the population drops below 400. And I'm going to turn it over to my staff, Dave. I have been spending a little bit more time on finance, and he's been doing all the behind-the-scenes work.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. This is a fairly simple piece of legislation. It's intended to assist the transfer of a school district. Obviously, that will mean savings to the state and consolidation. But in the end, the motivation for this is what's best for the kids in the town of school. And the Section 1, city population eligibility. The bill establishes a threshold of less than 400 persons as verified by the latest U.S. Census for automatically reclassifying a first-class city that requests such action. Local Boundary Commission set a threshold of 400 because they felt that if it was below 400, doing what you need to do as a council and assuming the responsibilities of a first-class city really wouldn't work in a population less than 400. So Tanana has fallen down to 243 people. So obviously they're below the threshold to even be eligible. They couldn't apply today if they weren't a first-class city. So this makes sense from a logical standpoint. Local Boundary Commission time frame. Once requested, a time frame of 10 days is established for the Local Boundary Commission to notify the requesting city council that they are officially eligible for reclassification. We were approached by the LBC saying 10 days is really not enough time, and Representative Kronk agreed that perhaps we could give them a bit more time. City decision time frame, after the council receives notification by the Local Boundary Commission, the city has 30 days to reject it. In other words, once they are classified as eligible, the city, if they hear and the feeling of the community is such that, you know, let's think about this, let's not go there, they have 30 days to nix the decision, so to speak. And if they do that, they don't get to reapply or reconsider for at least a year, which is in fairness to the LBC. So as this bill is presently written, it's as clean and as simple as it can be. There was a suggestion that a sunset clause be offered. After hearing the last meeting of the LBC on this bill, they felt that within a two-year period, they could redesign their system so this type of thing wouldn't happen and the legislature wouldn't have to get involved. And a two-year sunset seemed to be reasonable, and Representative Kronk gave his nod to that. So just to let you know, we'll try to work with the commission as they restreamline their process. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Well, thank you very much, Representative Kronk and Mr. Stancliffe. Are there any questions, Representative Vice Chair McCabe?
Sorry. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Stancliffe, I assume. Do you know if there's any other cities that are in this situation or close where they're drop below 400 and might be affected by this?
There are four other communities in the state that are first-class cities at this time that could make the request if they felt under duress and a need for the request. At this time, none of them have stepped forward to do so.
Follow up?
Yes, Chair McCabe.
So this is a
this is a permissive bill. It's not a directive bill. So they,
correct.
If they drop below 400, they can request it if they think they need to. And
correct.
It seems like this is because with 250 people, it's hard to find leadership, management, fire department, volunteers, all of that sort of thing that are sort of required by a first class city.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, through the chair, the Tanana School District, we have support from them, the support from the mayor of Tanana, and also support from the Yukon Koyukuk School District to make this happen. They're ready all on and on the ground to make this transition smooth as soon as this bill becomes a law.
Follow up.
Vice Chairman McCabe.
So that adds, my last question is immediate effective date. So this is sort of emergent. We need to get this rolling. It's not something we can set aside for next session or something like that.
Thank you, Representative McCabe, through the chair. No, we would like this to happen. Right now, the Yukon Koyukuk School District is operating the Tanana City School, and the people are extremely happy because, you know, being in a bigger school district, they're allowed CTE programs and stuff. And so we thought we'd have another piece of legislation, but it appears that being that Tanana is actually inside the REAA right now, that it appears that once this legislation passes, we're hoping that it's a smooth transition where Tanana will be assumed right into the YK school district, and they'll start functioning. They'll get a regional school board membership, and they'll be functioning just like any other REAA.
Thank you.
Representative Himshute.
Thank you. Through the chair, I've spent quite a bit of time on this bill because two of the four communities are in my district, and so I wanted to really vet the bill. And I don't have a lot of concerns, but hearing that, so in talking with AML about the Local Boundary Commission, the 10-day turnaround does seem like it could be problematic for them. So are you looking for an amendment to the 10 days, or they meet so infrequently? Is there a solution to the tight timeline of the 10 days?
Through the chair, we've agreed to a longer period of time, and I've submitted some information to your committee staff that if a CS is drawn up, it could include that as well as a sunset date. And so we're trying to accommodate. I will note for the record that after hearing about this bill, the LBC was able to convene a meeting well within the 10-day limit.
Follow up.
Yeah, and I just wanted to comment that the information here from the school district is really, really helpful because this is a fairly monumental thing to say you are no longer a school district. We're going from 54 to 53 districts. It's big. But I know, you know, Pelican is struggling. Heidelberg is not in the same place as Pelican. And so what I heard from Pelican, from the mayor there, is they're not looking at this right now, but they would welcome having an easier pathway than what's laid out right now in statute. So I support the bill.
Are there any additional questions? All right. Thank you very much for presenting this morning. HB 69 will be held over. We will have public testimony for this on Thursday. To be the bearer of bad news, the next scheduled committee starts at 7:30 a.m., just so everyone's aware. Mm-hmm. Not sure if that's super necessary anymore, but we're just kind of being cognizant of our time constraints. But thank you again, Representative Cronk, and Mr. Sandcliffe, for presenting this morning. So Thursday, we will be hearing an introduction for House Bill 70, which is a municipal property tax exemption. And the second hearing for HB 69 for public testimony, along with the bill we heard this morning, 123. The time is 8:16 a.m., and this hearing of the House Community and Regional Affairs is now adjourned.